A scripture reading is Ruth chapter 1, verses 6 through 13. While Naomi was in Moab, she heard that the Lord had come to help his people and had given them food again. So she and her daughters-in-law got ready to leave Moab and return home. Naomi and her daughters-in-law left the place where they had lived and started back to the land of Judah. But Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, "Go back home, each of you to your own mother's house. May the Lord be as kind to you as you have been to me and my sons who are now dead. May the Lord give you another happy home and a new husband." When Naomi kissed the women goodbye, they began to cry out loud. They said to her, "No, we want to go with you to your people." But Naomi said, "My daughters, return to your own homes. Why do you want to go with me? I cannot give birth to more sons to give you new husbands. Go back, my daughters, to your own homes. I am too old to have another husband. Even if I told myself I still have hope and had another husband tonight, and even if I had no more sons, should you wait until they were grown into men? Should you live for so many years without husbands? Don't do that, my daughters. My life is much too sad for you to share because the Lord has been against me."
One day, an old man was walking along the beach that was littered with thousands of starfish that had been washed ashore by the high tide. And as he walked, he came upon a young boy who was eagerly throwing the starfish back into the ocean one by one. And sort of puzzled, the man looked at the boy and asked what he was doing. And without looking up from his task, the boy simply replied, "I'm saving starfish, sir." And the old man kind of laughed out loud. And he said, "Son, there are thousands of starfish and only one of you. What difference can you make?" And the boy picked up a starfish and gently tossed it into the water and, turning to the man, said, "Well, I made a difference to that one." Sometimes when events in your life don't quite work out the way you hoped, you can begin to wonder whether or not, you know, you are making a difference in this world, amongst your friends and amongst your family, people around you. And it's difficult to identify at times to identify what difference you and your faith are making in your little corner of the world. And what we can't see is how different your corner of the world would be if you were not there and if you were not a person of faith. You know, I've shared with you in the past that my favorite movie of all time is It's a Wonderful Life, starring Jimmy Stewart, the late Jimmy Stewart. And you know, most of you have probably seen that movie, and you know the story that George Bailey lived in this small town of Bedford Falls, and he was trying to make a difference. You know, he wanted to go see the world, but he was trying to make a difference there. And his uncle, he was operating a bank, and his uncle had lost some funds, and he thought the bank was going to go under, and he just felt like a failure. And so he went to a bridge, and he was about to throw himself off. He was about to take his own life because he just felt like life wasn't worth living anymore. And that's when his angel Clarence came in to save him and to help him. And there's a scene in that movie where Clarence shows George what Bedford Falls would have looked like had he not been there to do what he did for that town. And Clarence actually says to him, "George, you've been given a great gift to see what life would be like without you." How we respond when we become discouraged about life and we begin to lose hope is important. How we respond, thinking sometimes that our life really hasn't made much of a difference. How are we going to respond in those times? What should we do? Well, in the book of Ruth, in the Old Testament, Naomi, who was Ruth's mother-in-law, experienced some rough times. You know, she experienced three funerals in a relatively short period of time. Her husband and two sons, within a 10-year period, all passed away. Her main sources of support, therefore, were gone. All she had left were her two daughters-in-law, who were actually foreigners. They weren't even Jewish. They were from the country of Moab. Naomi's husband had taken her to Moab because of a famine in Israel, and so she learned that the famine, at this time, she learned that the famine had ended, and she decided that the best thing for her to do now was to go back to Israel, where she had extended family. But she urged her daughters-in-law, as you heard the reading, to go back to their people, the Moabites, so they could find husbands, because she, Naomi, could no longer provide for them. So Naomi was so distraught and so discouraged that she didn't even want to take her daughters-in-law back with her to Israel to worship and know the God of Israel. In fact, she was actually rather angry at God at this time. And so when she returned to Israel, she said in Ruth 1, 20 and 21, she said, "Don't call me Naomi. Call me Mara," which means bitter or sad, "for the Almighty has dealt very bitterly with me. I went away full, and the Lord has brought me back empty. Why call me Naomi when the Lord has testified against me and the Almighty has brought calamity upon me?" So you can hear the discouragement in her words, and her faith and confidence at this point are at they're very low. You know, we've all experienced low points. In fact, you may be going through one now. And even Jesus, as he was dying on the cross, asked, "My God, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Ruth, however, shows what difference it can make when you commit your life to God and remain committed no matter what, even during the low points. Ruth refused, as you know, most of you, if you've read that, refused to leave her mother-in-law. She spoke those memorable lines in chapter 1, verses 16 and 17. It says, "Do not urge me to leave you or to return from following you. For where you go, I will go, and where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people. Your God shall be my God. Where you die, I will die, and there will I be buried. May the Lord do so to me and more also, if anything but death parts me from you." So Naomi had made much more of a difference than she had realized. You know, her daughter-in-law Orpah did go back to her people, but Ruth just simply clung to her. You know, she committed herself to her mother-in-law and her mother-in-law's God. She had a deeper faith than Naomi did, actually, at that point, or at least it seems that way to us. You know, one commentator wrote that God's purpose for us is not to make us comfortable. His purpose for us is to make us conformable. In other words, God's goal is to conform you into the image of His Son. And He can't do that unless we cling to Him even during the low points in our lives. Naomi was bitter toward God. She was ready to throw in the towel, but Ruth was not. Ruth was willing to let God have His way in her life, and as a result, good things began to happen. In fact, Ruth and Naomi were part of God's plan to fulfill God's promise to Abraham that his seed would bless the whole world. Ruth's story begins with the death of her husband, but it ends with the birth of a child who became the grandfather of David, from whose lineage came the Son of God. So if you want to change your circumstances, you have to cling to God. You have to let God have His way with you. And there are several ways, several steps you can take to permit Him to do that. And the first step is, you simply have to walk by faith and not by sight in this world. You know, when Ruth and Naomi returned to Bethlehem, Ruth asked Naomi in chapter 2 if she could go to the field of a relative of Naomi's and pick some grain because they needed food. And under the law, a landowner was not permitted to harvest to the very edges of his field. He was required to leave some so that the poor could go into those fields and pick some of that and have something to eat, have some food to eat. And Ruth's attitude, when you read, it's very positive. She felt that if she could go out to the fields and pick some grain, maybe Naomi's relative would show her some favor. And it reads in chapter 2, verse 3, that she happened to come to the part of the field that belonged to Naomi's relative, who was Boaz. She didn't know which field was his. You know, they didn't have fences or family signs in those days that identified that this field belonged to this family and this field belonged. They didn't have that. It just happened that she entered his field. And it just happened that Boaz showed up and noticed her. You know, obviously these things were being orchestrated by God. Proverbs 19:21 is what this reminds me of. Many are the plans in the mind of a man, but it is the purpose of the Lord that will stand. You see, God is working in your life, in my life. And of course, you know that because that's what we read. But we don't know it. Because, in other words, you know, you don't always know when. You don't always know how. You don't always know where God is working in your life. So you have to walk, as Paul wrote, by faith and not by sight. We all live by faith every day. This isn't that difficult, or it shouldn't be that difficult. Because in a sense, we all kind of live by faith every day. You know, in a little while, you're all going to be heading somewhere to lunch. And you're going to have some meal for lunch, and you have faith that that meal's not going to make you sick, right? And you're going to have faith that the vehicle in which you drive is going to get you to that place, right? And then you're going to have faith that the other drivers on the road are going to drive carefully, and you're going to get there safely, and you're going to get back safely. So living by faith and not by sight is not quite as difficult as maybe we might think. It can be done. We can do it. So step one is in order for God to conform you, in order for God to be able to bless your life, in order for you to maintain your relationship with God, you got to walk by faith and not by sight. And the second step is to let God have his way with you, is to live by the grace of God. When Ruth went out to glean in the field, she was looking for someone to show favor or grace. And Boaz happened to arrive when Ruth was in the field. He happened to notice her, and he first asked who she was. And he then extended his grace to her. He said, "Don't go to any other field. You know, keep close to my people. I want you to stay here because I have directed the young men not to touch you, not to harm you. If you need a drink, go get one." And later he invited her to sit with them and eat a meal with them. So when Boaz saw her, he took the initiative to ask who she was, and he then spoke to her. He promised to provide for her needs. He even instructed his workers to drop some heads of grain on the ground so she could actually pick them up herself. And this kind of illustrates what Jesus did for us. As Paul describes it in Ephesians 2, 6, and 7, God raised us up with him, seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. You know, remember, Ruth was a foreigner. She was a Moabite. She was not a Jew. And yet, because of her commitment to her mother-in-law and her mother-in-law's God, God gave her grace through Boaz. So God was working his plan. Further on, Ephesians 2:19, Paul wrote, "Concerning the Gentiles, you're no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of his household." So he's speaking to you and me. In order for God to live in you and work through you and have his way in you, not only must you walk by faith and not by sight, Not only must you live by the grace of God, but you must accept His grace and allow Him to make you part of His family. In chapter 2, Ruth goes home to Naomi, taking food with her that had been given her by Boaz. And Naomi wants to know what happened that day, and Ruth tells her about Boaz, and Naomi says, he's a close relative of ours. He's one of our redeemers. You know, a kinsman redeemer was a relative who had the right to purchase back a family's property that had been sold to someone who was not a relative. And Elimelech, who was Naomi's late husband, may have sold his land. When they left because of the famine and went to Moab, he may have sold his land. So Boaz was the redeemer who could buy it back because he was a kinsman of theirs. He was a relative. And so at the end of chapter 2 and the beginning of chapter 3, you begin to see Naomi's attitude begin to change. You see, God was using Ruth to turn Naomi's bitterness into gratitude and her despair into hope. One person trusting in God can make a significant difference in the outcome of your circumstances. Of course, the ultimate example, of course, is Jesus. But what you begin to see here in Naomi is her focus begins to change from herself to Ruth. Her concern shifts to her daughter-in-law. Chapter 3, verse 1, then Naomi, Ruth's mother-in-law, said to her, my daughter, I must find a suitable home for you, one that will be good for you. So Naomi has this plan for Ruth to marry Boaz and for Boaz to redeem their family by purchasing the land that Naomi owned through her late husband Elimelech, and her plan succeeded. Ruth did marry Boaz, and their land and lives were redeemed by Boaz, and eventually Ruth and Boaz have a child by the name of Obed, who was the father of Jesse, who was the father of David. So the book of Ruth, it begins in sadness and bitterness and ends in joy and triumph. You have to keep in mind when you read the book of Ruth that there's more to it than just the marriage of a foreigner to a respected Jew. It's also an illustration of the relationship of Jesus to those who commit their lives to Him and remain committed to Him. You know, when Ruth first went out in the field to glean, she was picking up the leftovers of what had already been harvested. She then began receiving the gifts of water, food, protection, invited to sit down and dine with them. Then she began taking grain home to Naomi, and eventually Ruth owned the field because of her kinsman redeemer. See, because when you have the redeemer, you have everything. And that's what you must want. You must want the redeemer, because when you have the redeemer, you have everything that he owns. So it's not the gifts that we seek in this life. It's the giver. When you have the giver, you have everything. There's a song that reflects this. It was a song that was sung actually at Dave Olliman's brother's funeral. And I think it's appropriate for us to just to hear it now. It's titled More Than Anything. It's sung by Natalie Grant. Read the words as you listen to the song.
I know if you wanted to, you could wave your hand. Spare me this heartache and change your plan. Take my pain away. But even if you don't, I pray, help me want the healing more than the healing. Help me want the Savior more than the saving. Help me want the giver more than the giving. Oh, help me want you, Jesus, more than than anything. You know more than anyone that my flesh is weak. And you know I'd give anything for a remedy. And I'll ask a thousand more times to set me free today.
Those of you who are my age or older know that, or even younger, know that there are going to be a lot of disappointments in life, and life's not always going to go the way you would like for it to go. There are going to be some really sad times in your life. But if you remain committed to Him, if you walk by faith and not by sight, if you live by the grace of God, if you accept God's grace, if you seek Him and not necessarily His gifts, you'll not only survive, but you'll thrive. You know, Ruth teaches us that when you're committed to God, it makes all the difference. He's the giver. He's the healer. He's the Savior. He's the Redeemer. If you have Him, you have everything. And that's the difference it makes. Ruth did not want to go back to her people. She was passionate about going back with Naomi and worshiping Naomi's God. Naomi was bitter, but Ruth was hopeful. And because of Ruth's commitment, God used her in His plan to bring salvation to the world. So your commitment can make a big difference, not only in your life, but in the lives of many other people. Psalm 37:5 reads, "Commit your way to the Lord, trust in Him, and He will act." Please take a moment to look at the back of your communication card this morning if you have one. There are three next steps to take, suggestions. Memorize Psalm 37:5, commit your way to the Lord, trust in Him, and He will act. Read the book of Ruth. It's only four chapters. And also, I encourage you to accept the commitment challenge. Commit your life to the giver, to the Redeemer, and you'll have everything. So if you want to do that today, be ready to commit your life to the Redeemer so that you can have eternal life, so that you can have the blessings of God, so that you can have the assurance of being with Him in heaven. We encourage you this morning to do it. If you just need to recommit yourself, maybe you haven't been as faithful as you'd like to be, things haven't been working out very well, and that you really are at a very low point, now's the time to to really submit to Him and commit your life to God. So if we can help you do that this morning, let us know right now as we stand and as we sing.